Christ is all. Before we get to grips with the covenants and the law, let us remind ourselves of the greatest issue of them all. Christ. Christ is all. Paul certainly thought so. Colossians 3:11. Of course, both covenant and new covenant theologians would say the same. Nevertheless, and it has to be faced, one of the consequences of covenant theology is that the focus inevitably slips from Christ to law. Bit strong, isn't it? Not at all. After all, according to covenant theology, the law is the way to prepare sinners for Christ. It is the believer's standard of holiness, the believer's rule, the whip to drive him to progressive sanctification, which, in turn, is the main means whereby the believer can gain assurance. Yes, according to covenant theology, the law takes pride of place. I have fully documented all this in many of my works. In contrast, the theology of the New Covenant gives the central role to Christ and his gospel. In justification, positional sanctification, assurance, progressive sanctification, perseverance, and final glory, and in that order. Christ is all is not a slogan. As Christ explained, the Spirit will glorify me. Collier understood this. In his A Discourse on the True Gospel Blessedness in the New Covenant, 1659, he declared, "The author of this letter to the Hebrews mainly and chiefly deals of the excellency of Christ and the gospel covenant or ministration, that is, the New Covenant, above that of the law. He treats of the excellency of Jesus, a truth of very great concern, and as it is the duty, so it should be the care of every gospel minister and Christian to keep up the dignity and excellency of Jesus Christ in his person, work, and offices. Our work is to exalt the true Christ above angels, above Moses, above the priests or priesthood under the law, and so consequently above the Old Testament, that is the Old Covenant ministry and ministration, in authority, dignity, and excellency. Hence, he came to take away or put an end to that ministry or priesthood and covenant, which is the second special work of the writer in this letter to the Hebrews, and should be of all good men, to exalt the new covenant above the old, which is the truth declared in the scripture read unto you. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second." That is, he takes away the first or old covenant or testament, that he might establish the second. Now that it is the two covenants that it is here intended is clear, for the word he and first and second are relatives. The word he relates to Christ. First and second relate to the first and second covenants, which are called the Old and the New Covenants. Thus it is clear, failing to distinguish the two covenants and all that goes with it leads to a diminishing of the glory of Christ. Putting it the other way round, it is only by setting out the biblical doctrine of the covenants that Christ is truly glorified. Years before his true gospel, Collier had laid down the marker in his The Exaltation of Christ in the Days of the Gospel, as the alone or only high priest, prophet, and king of saints, 1647. Look at his chosen title. Collier set out his stall. Christ is to be lifted up now in the days of the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel, and that first for justification and life, as the only priest, atonement, and peacemaker between God and his people. He is to be lifted up as the only prophet to teach, as the only king and lawgiver to his church and people. And this is to be done both in the preaching of the gospel and in the hearts of believers. In the preaching of the gospel, Christ is to be lifted up for justification and life. This was the end for which Christ came into the world, that you might have life, yet more abundantly. This salvation God has commanded to be preached, this remission and salvation the prophet witnesses, speaking of the covenant of grace that is the new covenant, the gospel covenant, he says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." And this remission of sins is to be preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And in some measure this has been and shall be performed. And so I close this short, very short, opening chapter. But do not judge its weight by its length. The subject of this chapter, Christ is all, is the theme of the highest importance. In what now follows, Christ is all must constantly be kept in mind. That is what Collier was about. And this is my purpose in publishing this work, to declare yet again that Christ is all.